Hey everybody, it's H, and welcome to a special breaking news reaction installment of Dune Pod, your one-stop shop to get ready for the new Dune movie. Today I'm joined, as always, by my co-host Jason.
Obviously I had my issues with Little Women.
And nobody else. On this special reaction episode, we break down the first official Dune trailer. We discuss whether Stephen Colbert is the best of us, how amazing the cast looks, and the perils of using popular music in trailers. If you're enjoying the show, we need your help. Be cool like listener Noble1234 and leave us a 5-star rating and a review wherever you listen to your podcasts, as it really helps new listeners find the show. And now, without further ado, freaking finally, the Dune trailer. Jesus Christ.
It's good. It's good. That's the whole podcast. We just say it's good. Publish.
Holy shit. Did you watch all the Colbert interviews and stuff?
Yeah. I watched the Colbert stuff too.
I love him so much.
He's great. I love that Stephen Colbert loves Dune and was just like, yes, I will happily MC your Dune trailer talk show on Twitter Movies, at Twitter Movies.
Yeah.
Seems like a low rent gig.
I think it's pretty high stakes, right?
Not for Stephen Colbert.
That's fair enough. Fair enough. Fair enough. But yeah, so that was really awesome to have that, and then to see the cast and the crew together. That was really great. Like the amount of energy that they had together.
Yeah, they had a really good vibe. I think my favorite joke in the cast pre-roll to the trailer was
Oscar.
Stephen Colbert. Yeah, Stephen Colbert asked Oscar Isaac, like, hey, so like, you know, what was it like working on such like behemoth sets? And he's like,
well, I'll just say that, you know, no set piece, no X-Wing, no Millennium Falcon could compare to the sheer scale of Josh Brolin's head. It was massive, both literally and figuratively, and just the, it really made me feel like I was in an alien planet.
Those boys,
which is, as someone with a giant head, I appreciate it.
Well, it was like such an awesome moment because people were like, oh my God, he's about to do a Star Wars slam. This is bad.
Yeah, I know. I was ready. I was like, yes, dish on that shit. No, it was good. But it seemed like they all really were grateful to work on this. I mean, particularly Momoa, who said, like, this is how I want the rest of my career to go.
That was and, really you know, like, cool. That was very touching, actually.
Yeah, I thought that was good. And he said, Momoa also said, I felt beautiful in this film.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, that's great. I love it.
So I just want to ask a question right at the beginning here. What was your take on using the Floyd song?
The future. I can see it. I must not fear.
Yeah, so I think, as others have pointed out on Twitter already, the Floyd song is nice because it's a tie to Jodorowsky's Dune, because Floyd was supposed to do the soundtrack. And of course there's this scene where, Jodorowsky meets, Pink Floyd and the Abbey Road Studios and they're not into him. And then Jodorowsky throws a fit and like, they're like, okay, all right, this guy's crazy. We can work with him. And he's like, you know, he has the line in the movie. He was like, they say yes.
Yeah. They were mixing Dark Side. Supposedly.
They were mixing Dark Side. Yeah. Right. Yeah, supposedly. Who knows what's real? But yeah, so I like that. I'm also personally a fan of Dark Side. And like, it's an album I've listened to a lot. Like, it's kind of against the rest of my music taste, but that album I do really like. I think it works emotionally in the trailer. I think the gimmick of we're going to take a classic song and do a cover of it for a trailer sort of feels a little played out to me at this point.
Totally.
You know, I think we've got the best versions of that from Jordan Peele, and like people should try some other technique for trailers. That's not a Villeneuve choice, right? The director usually doesn't make the trailer, so I don't really feel bad slagging on it. And I also, you know, again, just sort of as a Gen X fan, would have rather seen like sort of a like a, you know, like a moody cover of like a Pavement song or something, like a moody epic cover of like, you know, a Pixies track or something, whatever, you know, just something instead of a Boomer track. Uh-huh. But whatever, it works. I mean, it works in the trailer. My initial reaction was, that's fine. I wasn't like, oh my God, this is the best.
I'm generally like super over that. You know, we talked about it on the Batman trailer, but it was Nirvana. Yeah. And that was actually kind of cool.
Right.
And it was the original version as opposed to so much change. Here, I thought it worked great. And once I realized and read that Joe Dorowsky connection, that clicked for me.
Yeah.
I generally just would have loved it just to be just pure Hans Zimmer score and nothing else. There's no reason not to do that.
Exactly. Like the taste of the Zimmer score we've gotten so far is so compelling. Mm. You know, we were corresponding with our Fate Achaean Warriors on DM, and they pointed out that like the snippet that is in the teaser for the trailer, like the faces rotating that came out yesterday, mm-hmm. is clearly to us an homage to the original Lynch soundtrack. Mm-hmm. Like there's that chord build in that little snippet that
is there
makes
that
me excited. There's not the electric guitar hero theme, but there's a little bit of the prophecy theme, like just, you know, dun, dun, and like, and so it makes me really excited because Zimmer's very good, as we saw in Blade Runner, of taking an established score and just improving it, you know, and just like, you know, being very truthful to it and improving it, which I'm pretty excited to see what he does with this.
So just Chalamet looks incredible. Zendaya looks amazing. You know, her, yes. like in the white flowing robe type situation, mm-hmm. and them kissing there. Like I really like the fact that this is this giant, dense, hard sci-fi book, but it's also a love story about two young people and using that as an anchor to create a much broader audience than this might have, I think is a really great thing.
Yeah, I think it kind of gets into like, I got a number of like kind of pings from non-Dune fans about the trailer, or like people who are either have no familiarity with it or are lesser fans. And it was interesting, like Crystal was watching it with me and her immediate reaction in that scene was like, she's like, well, at least the kiss is better in this than in the, version in Lynch.
Right.
So that's good. And like, I do think like another question that folks raised to me was like, is this like a young adult story? Like, is this like a, you know, like, is this like a, you know, is this like that kind of audience for this story? And I don't think it is, but you kind of get, you know, they start off like trying to broaden the aperture to like encompass that audience.
Dude, the shot of Arakeen burning with Paul and Jessica standing up in silhouette, mm-hmm. is so rad. We already saw the great shots of the Gamjabar last week, but Paul's scream is just like super intense.
The test is simple. Remove your hand from the box and you die.
What's in the box?
Pain.
There's a couple things in here before we get to the scream. One is that I love Paul's headboard. He has this really lush fish headboard, yeah, which yeah. is just definitely hashtag headboard gold. And like over the scene of burning Arakeen, Paul's voiceover is, there's a crusade coming,
yeah.
which I take as a very optimistic sign.
Yeah.
Because like, you know, we need the movie to establish in this movie that Paul is tortured by this vision of a crusade to come. And that is, you know, ultimately not a good thing.
Right.
So I love that. But yeah, the scene, the stuff that we've already seen with the Gamjabar, that room looks phenomenal. Paul's outfit looks phenomenal. The box looks phenomenal. Reverend Mother's outfit, face, you know, stocking is amazing. Just great.
Yeah.
All great.
Yeah. The face stocking is very intense.
Yeah.
It is not like a kind of like a lightweight, like little thing. It's just like, whoa, this is hard. So we have shields, you know, maybe not shields. Quite as good as David Lynch's.
I'm excited about these shields. They look good. It's not too much. It's, to me, it was like reminiscent of some of the visual effects. I mean, we know Villeneuve doesn't love special effects.
Right.
And so I think what he's doing here is like reminiscent of what he did with the Joy AI, you know, virtual reality effect in Blade Runner 2049, where it's like, it's just enough to sell it without doing too much. I also think they include this detail, which is very helpful, which is the shields are blue when they deflect a hit and are red when they permit a hit, which gives a lot of cool visual to the battles that are, you know, not only in this scene where you, in the close-up that's on this Nerdist article you referenced,
yeah.
You can see Gurney's blade penetrating Paul's shield. And then is also true in the Duncan Idaho fight later.
Yeah. Yeah. And the fact that it's red, for blood makes it that much more awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
That's a cool tie-in. Oscar looks terrific. Through this Caladan looks totally amazing. Like all of those shots and the whole thing of like he's going to lose the planet, he's going to lose the other one too. Like the intensity is there. I was surprised when I saw we see a great shot of Lady Jessica around here. They really aged her digitally or makeup or whatever. Like when you see, when they showed her in the, in the Colbert interviews, she looks like 10 years younger than she does, you know, in the film.
I had a similar reaction, which is like, when I saw the Colbert thing, I was like, I don't know if I believe she can be Timothée Chalamet's mom. I was like doing the math. I was like, did Jessica have this child when she was like 12 or something? Like, yeah, it's like, yeah, but she looks great. The scene where they arrive on Arrakis and she's got this like gauzy veil, like her formal Bene Gesserit, like arrival veil.
Is that her or is that Family Folks? I was trying to figure that out.
I'm pretty sure that's her with Family Folks in the background.
Huh.
And cause she's got like the diamond studded
face
girdle. I think only the royal concubine of the Duke gets the diamond-studded face girdle, and the ladies in the back just have the formal Arrakis arrival gauzy veil.
Right. That makes sense. There was a speculation of that shot of Leto, like, was that going to be him going into battle with the bright light or whatever?
Yeah.
And just that thing of the footstep onto Arrakis, and then the shots of outside the guild ships, just so badass.
Yep.
And then you have this great moment of lightness with Duncan coming on that was terrific.
Yeah. Also, though, in this scene, I have to shout out another one of my favorite details, which is the Atreides arriving on Arrakis for the scene where Duncan's stoked to see Paul. In the background is my guy Thufir with this dope ass parasol.
Oh yeah.
I love that Thufir has a parasol. That just shout out to whoever like said, I have a vision for how Thufir's going to arrive. He's going to have a dope parasol for his arrival in Arrakis. Correct choice.
Yeah. Yeah. It was great to see him. And I cannot wait to hear him speak and see him in actual,
the whole situation.
In actual action. But that was nice to see. We also get this great view of the Harkonnen troops or either maybe their Sardaukar, but just all of those guys outside getting ready to go to war is great.
Yeah. I think this is Gedi Prime, where this is the Harkonnen army that is reinforced by the Sardaukar, which is obviously a detail from the book. And I think that looming figure is like the Baron Harkonnen floating above with a giant cape, like sort of addressing the crowd. That's my interpretation of that. Is that like he's like giving like the go fuck him up on Arrakis order, and like he's like looming above the whole crowd with this giant like suspended cape.
Oh wow.
At least that's what I hope.
Huh. Interesting. Well, I do love the fact that they just are keeping the Baron very, very off screen, like holding those cards closely.
Yeah, there's a detail that Stellan Skarsgård had to do 7 hours of makeup a day for this movie. But like the one choice that they do make about the Harkonnens here that becomes very clear is that they've decided to make all the Harkonnens eyebrowless. Like all the Harkonnens have alopecia.
Right.
Which, you know, is, I think there's other things that's been written about, like, you know, sort of, it's not cool to just make villains like albinos and hairless people.
Right, right.
I mean, it's a look for the Harkonnens for sure.
Well, it's also interesting that the Harkonnens, like their battle gear is white.
Yeah.
So I thought that was an interesting touch. There's a one shot that looked really weird to me, which is the last Sardaukar kind of landing behind or Harkonnen landing behind the other ones. It very much looks like he's in a wire coming down.
It did look a little wiry.
I don't know what happened. Maybe they'll clean that one up in post, but
We'll see. We'll have to see what happens, what it looks like in, we'll have to see what it looks like in real life.
But everything that, like Paul's line of,
this is an extermination. They're picking my family off one by one.
The intensity there and showing, you know, how the threat that Paul is feeling and the fact that he is going to come back and do his thing.
Yep.
Awesome.
Yep.
Duncan looks great. And I love the idea of building him up further.
Love everything we saw of Duncan. I think it's such a big improvement over any previous Duncans. Like, it's clearly like now they've just got a guy in Momoa who can play a total badass.
I'm not sure what that one shot is of just before the shot of the Thopters, after we see Chani, but just before the gurney with an explosion happening that they're reacting to, there is a shot of ships coming down.
Yeah.
And those don't look like Ornithopters to me. Like, I was trying to figure out.
I assume those were Harkonnen ships.
I was trying to figure out if those were, I was still holding off for like, for seeing the Geaty Prime raid.
And
like maybe those could be, Atreides ships attacking Geaty Prime because it was coming down onto darkness, but.
Yeah, I don't think we're getting that.
Probably not.
It seems like a diversion.
I did get some serious feels, even though I was, you know, like my cold heart, the Duncan salute with a sword and Paul with the knife, like that really hit me.
Love the salute.
Yeah.
I love the salute. It's really, really good. I don't know, like there's some speculation of like what's, I mean, I don't think those two scenes are, I don't know if those are the same, I don't know if that's the same scene basically.
Sure.
Like if Paul's returning that salute to Duncan or if like, you know, it's basically stitched together.
Well, in the book, they do have that second, you know, after Paul and Jessica's escape, they do get picked up by Duncan and they do have that time together.
They have a sec. And I think we're going to get that because we have a shot in the trailer of Duncan bowing down and saying, my Lord Duke to Paul. So we're going to get a little more Duncan than we got in the Lynch movie.
I love that we get the Beast Raban's whip that he used to give Gurney.
Yeah, the Inkvine whip.
Yeah. Yep.
And all of his creepers with him. Yep.
And then just the two shots of Paul in the midst of his fight with Jameis and then him piloting the Thopter. Mm-hmm. And then the shot after that, just the close up of him as he's doing the Litany of Fear. Like we've all heard the Litany of Fear. We've all said the Litany of Fear. When you hear him against this backdrop, it was like, that was unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm really excited for Chalamet in this role. I mean, I was a Chalamet doubter when we did Call Me By Your Name. And obviously I had my issues with Little Women, but I none of them were Chalamet specific. And I think I'm ready to see this. I think he's going to be just really compelling as Paul.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really funny. I was watching it. I had just had the hugest smile on my face while watching the Colbert interviews. And then as the trailer was like kicking up into high gear, I was like, oh yeah, this is why we're doing this shit.
Yeah.
This is why we've been getting together every week talking about this. Like everybody can finally see what it is that we're so stoked about.
Yeah. I think it's interesting. And again, we can talk about this later too, but like, I don't know if people understand what this movie is who don't know what this book is. Like, I don't know, like, you know, like I think the hype is, I've definitely just noticed on my own channels, like, oh, like people are tuning in, know this trailer dropped. People are excited about this trailer.
Yeah.
But there's definitely a world of people who are like, I have no idea what Dune is. I've never heard about it. And I don't think this trailer really explains what Dune is either. I think this is more selling the idea that there is a visual feast and like, you know, an extravaganza, a spectacle coming. But like, I don't think you necessarily like, if you didn't know that this was a book that had giant sandworms, you might be surprised to see a giant sandworm later in the story, later in the trailer and be like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah.
What is that?
Yeah. Totally. It's too much exposition to unpack in one trailer.
Yeah.
I think it comes across as sweeping as hell, epic as hell. The cast is incredible. The visual feel of it is so real, which is what we always love about Denny. So I think from that perspective, this is going to be a film unlike any other.
And the trailer really boils down the story of Dune to like the themes that are in the Gom Jabbar scene, which is that like, this planet is a trap. Mm. It's not going to work out well. And the test is, what do humans do when they fall into a trap?
Yeah.
Because we know animals will cut their own legs off. What do humans do? And like, that's essentially what this movie is, like what this trailer is boiling the movie down to.
All right. Well, to be continued.
To be continued.
For folks that are listening to this, I hope you enjoyed the trailer. You can see it on YouTube. You can see it on at Twitter Movies. If you're listening right now, go download the Euphoria episode. We just spent an amazing full episode talking about Zendaya and that phenomenal film. And then tonight we are recording our full episode on Enemy. So feel free to send us letters at dunepod.com if you have hot reactions over the next couple of hours. Or you can send us a voicemail at 415-534-5211. We would love to play your hot takes tonight. So thank you so much, and we will see everybody soon.
Peace.
And that's it for this special reaction episode of Dune Pod. I want to thank Denny, the cast, and the crew, and all the people who worked so hard to make this great movie and trailer. Next week, we take a walk on the wild side with Denny Villeneuve's 2013 twisted thriller, Enemy. If you're enjoying this podcast, follow us at Dune Pod on Instagram and Twitter, and share our social media posts, as it really helps new listeners find the show. DunePod is a production of H Industries, a member of the Paper Keg Radio Syndicate. The episode was produced and edited by me, H. Our artwork is by Catcher, and our theme music was composed by Toby Forsman of Whipsong Music. Thanks for listening. We'll see everybody next week.